Beta, Perek Hey, Mishnah Zayin, the last of the Masechta. There are actually two separate dinim in this Mishnah. The first is kind of a follow-on of the previous principle of the previous Mishnah, which says, Misha Zimen Eitz L'Orchem, if I invite to my house guests for Yom Tov, Lo Yalichu B'Yadam Manos, I can't send them back with doggy bags. I can't say, oh, you like the cookies that where I serve for dessert? Why don't you take some back for your grandkids? No, I can't say that because the cookies are confined to my tchum, and assuming that you live beyond my tchum, and you just made an erev tchumen to be able to come to my house for Yom Tov, so therefore, there's no way for you to get my cookies into your home, even though I gave them to you on Yom Tov. However, Eleim kein zika lahem manosehem me'erev Yom Tov, if before Yom Tov came in, I said, this doggy bag, these cookies are for my friend's grandchildren, and I formally transfer ownership of the cookies to be no longer my cookies, but your cookies. I mean, I'll get someone else, I get my neighbor, my wife, and I say, do me a favor, pick up these cookies to do a Maisa Kinyan, to acquire them on behalf of my friend who's coming to me for lunch on Yom Tov. We have their general principle of Zechiyah, that Zachen Adam Shelo Bafanav, you can acquire something on behalf of somebody else, even if he's not present, if it's a benefit to him, it's a Zechus. And therefore, if I transfer ownership through such an act to you before Yom Tov, they're your cookies, and therefore they're confined to your tchum. So of course, when you get back home from lunch at my place, you can bring the cookies with you, no problem. Last case of the Mishnah now is going to the topic of muktzah over again. The question is, what's the status of one's livestock, his animals on Yom Tov? So we're going to have two categories of animals. We're going to have animals that are called bisos, like those are like the ones that are home around the house, and we'll define the Mishnah as those that sleep overnight, every night, like in the shed, back at the around the house, and within the tchum of the city, technically. So those ones, going into Yom Tov, a person's mind is on them. Yeah, he wants to shecht an animal for Yom Tov, to eat, you know, eat, to have a barbecue on Yom Tov day, and therefore, they're not muktzah. He had his mind on them, you know, passively in all of them. But the animals that tend to not sleep overnight within the tchum of the city, at least not in the warm months, the summer months, the spring months, which is when the regalim happen, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot will happen in the warm time of year. So those animals that sleep out in the hills or fields, wherever they are, during those nights, so those are, like so to speak, out of sight, out of mind, they're not considered to be ready for Yom Tov, and therefore they're muktzah. And that being the case, the Mishnah says, I'm going to read the Mishnah and sort of explain it, and then I'll go back to pick up a few words that I'm sort of brushing over for a second. Ein mashkin v'shochatin esa midbarios. Not allowed to shecht the midbarios, the animals, we'll call them the desert animals, the ones that sleep out in the hills overnight, because they're muktza. Aval mashkin v'shochatin esa baisos. You can shecht the animals that are around the house. Anyone that sleeps a night around your house, you could shecht on Yom Tov and eat, even if the animal happened to be beyond the tchum as Yom Tov came in, because the animal came back inside later on. It's confined to your tchum because it's your animal, and since it's a baisos, a local animal that sleeps around you, you had in mind, you'll find it and shecht it on Yom Tov. Eluhen baisos, what constitutes, what defines a baisos, so like a around the house animal? Halanos be'ir, assuming they sleep in the city, meaning within the tchum of the city. Midbarios, what defines the desert, the wild outdoor animals? Halanos ba'afar, the ones who sleep out there in the, literally in the dirt, means in the like a swamp out there in the hills, whatever it is. And that's the din. Now a few just side points here. The Mishnah talks about mashkin v'shochatin, to water and then shecht. So almost every mefarish learns that this is not the point at all. The mashka, the watering, is not relevant one bit. The point is the shechita. And the issue with the watering is that the Mishnah is giving good advice. It's saying when you shecht an animal, it's important to first give it to drink, because if the animal is dehydrated, it's hard to flay the hide from the meat to separate off the animal's skin. But if it's well hydrated, then it comes off easily. And therefore, good advice is to water the animal first so it has what to drink, so it's not dehydrated. So it's just a package deal. Mashkin v'shochatin, you can't do that with midbarios, you could do that with baisos. The Rambam, interestingly, does learn that it means what it says, that it's saying, you actually can't feed, this is a chiddush, you can't feed your animals or give them to drink on Yom Tov, even if they're your animals, because the concern is that you'll come to shecht them on Yom Tov, and this is a din d'rabbanan. The other issue is, exactly midbarios. So midbarios, if you translate midbar as desert, so then it's a little strange. Why would animals sleep in the desert? They have nothing to eat over there. But the pshat here is midbar means wilderness. It means the wild where the stuff is growing. And same goes with afar. Afar means dirt. Pretty much everyone learns. It doesn't mean afar. Afar is equivalent to like the ahu. Ahu is like a swamp where stuff grows and where animals can graze and so on. That's acceptable. The Rambam learns afar actually means the dirt, and it's referring to the dirt area around the city, but beyond the tchum. Okay? And with that, Baruch Hashem, Tzalek Maseches Beitza, we complete Maseches Beitza, and Be'ez Hashem next is Maseches Rosh Hashanah.